Helps if I put that on, doesn't it? Right. Hello to people on Zoom. It's sorry, I thought I had my microphone switched on and I didn't. But just to say to you that we're talking about Imogen, who's centre stage for the first bit of the service. But maybe I should just hand over to Elaine, because she's been standing patiently waiting for me to stop blethering.
So welcome to our service of worship this morning, especially if you're a newcomer or visitor, and if you're here for Imogen's special blessing. Visitors may wish to sign the visitor's book, and we have Catch today with us, Kids at Church. We have quite a few Advent and Christmas services. Sunday the 15th at 11:30, it's the third Sunday in Advent. Sunday the 15th at 7 o'clock, 9 lessons and carols down at Limekilns. Sunday the 22nd at 11:30 is the Christmas light show performed by Cat. Tuesday the 24th at 6:30 is our Christingle family service. And Tuesday the 24th at 11:45 is our watch night gathering. And then on Wednesday the 25th, Christmas Day, 9:30, Christmas gathering. Discussion group. Our discussion group is meeting through Advent using a resource from the Bible study for the Rest of Us series. Meeting on Tuesday the 3rd, Wednesday the 11th, and Wednesday the 18th at 7:30 p.m. Contact Derek on 882190 for information. The church is taking part in the Warm Spaces initiative once again, and the church is now open on Thursday afternoons between 1 and 5 p.m. until the end of March. This week on Thursday, the 12th of December, the Sanctuary Cinema will be showing the film The Dressmaker. The film starts at 2 p.m. and it's just to let you know, the following week, the 19th, the film will be White Christmas. The Queen Anne Singers present Christmas in Music and Words, a selection of Christmas songs, music and poems, on Friday the 13th of December at 7 o'clock in St Margaret's Memorial Church, Eastport, Dunfermline. Tickets are £10 in aid of Mary's Meals. And see Alison Hay, who's over here, for tickets. Volunteers are wanted for deliveries. We will soon have flyers about our Christmas services to deliver to every house in the parish, and Christmas cards to go out to our contact addresses. Please put your name down to help on the list in the vestibule. The Scout Post service is available once again and will deliver cards across West Fife for 50 pence each. Collection points are at Fairleys, the Scout Hall and the primary school. The last collection for this is at 5 o'clock on the 11th of December. And there's a sheet outside which tells you where they're all going to be delivered to. There are further intimations on the printed sheet. This can be viewed on Facebook or downloaded from our website if you don't have a copy. And the duty team today is myself and Marion. We're on welcome. I'm doing the reading as well, and George is in the prayers, and we have Derek and Doug as our tech team today. Before we look at the order of service, though, George would like to come up and say a few words.
I promise to be very quick, for once. Promise, honestly. For those of you who don't know, I'm the treasurer of this church, and last week we had our gift day where we asked the congregation to give us a gift of money. I just wanted to let you know the total, but more importantly, I wanted to thank you all so much for your generosity. It's quite incredible. I often say at Kirk Session meetings, we'll just buy it. God will provide the money. I can assure you, don't worry about that. Let's just go ahead and do it. Well, God's done it again, folks. He really has. I've got to thank you on behalf of Kirk Session. The total for this year's gift day was £2,050, which is absolutely tremendous. Well done. Thank you very much.
I was going to be unfair and say you don't often see a smiling treasurer, but that's a bit unfair, George, isn't it? It is. It is. One final intimation for you. I'm sure that a lot of people will have heard that Hazel Hastings passed away during the week. There are no details about her funeral yet. I'll be able to give you that next Sunday. So just so that you're aware, and please pray for the Hastings family. And when Alec phoned me, he said that she passed away very peacefully and very quietly in her sleep. Oh, I've got a job to do, haven't I? You think Duncan will help me? Do you know what the job is yet? I was going to say the sermon, but he might give you one. I need one other volunteer. Right, we'll sort that out. You going to come out? Come out. Right, we've got... Right, where did I... Oh, there's my candles. Right, where's the things to light them? Right, you see, I get very easily confused. So... Are you coming to help? Better come across here. So, are you safe? To have fire in the church? Who's safety officer?
Me.
Right.
It might be
right. So, like this. Right. Would you like to light one of those candles, Duncan? Any of the red ones? Just a red one. That's fine. Well done. That's great. Right. Would you like to light any red one you like? Right. Would you like to blow this out? Together? Oh, it's gone. That's fine. Now it's totally out. Well done. Right. Would you like to go back to where you went before? That's fine. That's great. Thank you very much. So there we are. Second Sunday of Advent. Who's looking forward to Christmas?
Yeah.
Who's worried that it's such a short time? Oh, look at all those adults. So let's sing now. We're going to sing an Advent hymn. It's number 290, The Race That Long in Darkness Pined. Dedicate our offering. Almighty God, we ask your blessing upon our giving. Use all that we give in the work of your church and to your glory, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So we come to the part of the service where we have our blessing. In this act of blessing, we proclaim the love of God. As God's people in this place, we offer a special welcome to the Henry family, who are well enough known here, I think. Bruce and Nicola have had their lives enriched and blessed by the gift of their daughter, Imogen, and a sister for Duncan. They've come here today to ask God for a blessing and to thank God for the gift of children in their lives. They invite us as a congregation to share in their joy and on their behalf ask God's blessing upon Imogen. This we are glad to do in Christ's name and welcome a child into this fellowship. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." When the disciples were arguing about which of them was the greatest, Jesus took a little child and said, "Whoever welcomes a little child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me." In this act of blessing, we recognize Jesus' command and follow his example by welcoming Imogen into the wider church family where she belongs. We are well aware, though, that in all of this, those with primary responsibility are parents. They are there to care and look after their children. And in recognition of this responsibility, I'd like Imogen's parents to stand. And I've got a question for them. They only need to say an "I do" at the end. And then there is a question for all of us. Recognizing the goodness of God in granting you the gift of this child, do you earnestly desire that she receive Christ's blessing? And do you promise that you will be worthy and loving parents to your child? May the Lord bless you and enable you to faithfully keep the promise that you've made today. And now you get to sit and everybody else gets to stand up because I've got a question for you. And your answer is, "With God's help, we will." Will you be faithful to your calling as members of the Church of Christ so that this child and all the other children in your midst may know of Jesus' love and compassion? With God's help, we will. Please be seated. Let us pray. Almighty God, we pray for all the children of our church and our community. This morning we bring Imogen to you, asking you to be present to her all the days of her life. We pray for her parents, Bruce and Nicola, her brother Duncan, and the family of which they are part. Enable us to be faithful to the promises we have made today. Guide us in our living to be a positive influence upon this young life and all young lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, would the Henry family like to come across here, into the middle? And do I get to carry you? Yes. Well, maybe we could hear about that later. Okay. Oh, right. There we are. So, Imogen Rose, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I commend you to the gracious care and protection of God Almighty through all your days. And may his richest blessing rest and abide with you always. And now we're going to sing. I hope the words may come up on screen. If they don't, it's "The Lord Bless You and Keep You." It's number 796 if you happen to be using a book. And we'll stay seated and we'll sing. Well, we're going to have a look at these people as well. We'll see. What did you think of all of those people? Let us pray. In all that family life brings, surround this Henry family with your blessing. May they know that you are always there, always ready to love and protect. Bless Bruce and Nicola and Duncan and Imogen. Give them wisdom, courage and humour to know that the children that are your gift to them are truly a gift of wonder. Guide them in the pathways of family life and give them peace and happiness through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Amen. And now, this is where we ask some of the young people to take part. I think there is a book for Imogen, who's dribbling, as children do. There's a certificate to say that she has been blessed across here this week. And if you could put the name along there, could you give the certificate? Could you hand the certificate over? That would be good. Right. That's great. Thank you. I'll take the bit of paper. And you want to hand over the book? There we go. So thank you very much. You can go back to your seats now. So there we go. So I wondered what we should sing today. And it just seemed appropriate that we sing Away in a Manger. Do you know the words of Away in a Manger, Duncan? Have you sung that one? You might have sung it right. Mm. Right. Well, we're going to sing Away in a Manger. Ah, well. However, I have to say that what I always said in my family is that all the problems of your own children, actually, it's a generational jump, so you blame the grandparents. So let's sing Away in a Manger.
Thank you.
didn't you say arts and crafts would be more fun than my sermon? I don't like an empty church. You can tell what kind of a church this is. George is leading us in prayer this morning. Absolutely.
I know, full of clear. Yeah. Morning, folks, if I've not said good morning to you already. Our prayers this morning are taken from the Church of Scotland website. I went on it earlier on this week and I found the service that was in there for. The Church of Scotland have a service for every Sunday in a year, and I found the prayer on this particular service quite moving. So I thought I would use this for our prayers of intercession this morning. So it's written by a lady by the name of Ruth Harvey, and she's the leader of the Iona community. And I also believe she's a Quaker. So there'll be two prayers, one on gratitude and one on confession. So let us join together in prayer to God. Let us pray. Breathe on us, breath of God. Inspire our minds and our hearts today. Enliven our thoughts and our senses, we pray. May we be open to your world, alert to your world, awake to your gift, coming in Jesus Christ, Prince of Peace. At this time of Advent, fire our imaginations with the sweep of your salvation. Catch us up in the cause of your kingdom, already breaking into this world, yet waiting for its final fulfillment when Christ shall come again. And let your spirit, wild as the wind, gentle as the dove, move within us and amongst us to enliven our worship and strengthen our faith, sending us out with anticipation and joy. Amen. And now our prayer of confession and repentance. Let us pray. God of peace, we come before you tired and weary, worn out from a hard week of tasks, weary from a short night of rest, fragile as dew on a blade of grass. Yet you set before us a fresh morning, a window of opportunity, an offer of a new start. For this praise you. God of peace, we come before you, doubting and confused, senses dulled from relentless worry, minds restless with niggles and cares, fragile as frost on a winter's morning. Yet you set before us an anchor of openness, the wide arms of questions and acceptance that know nothing of right or wrong. For this we praise you. God of peace, we come before you, often judging, living on the breath of assumptions, fragile as a half-heard whisper. Yet you draw us into your unconditional love, embracing us in diversity and uniqueness. For this we praise you. God of peace, now in a moment of silence, we bring before you our personal confessions and seek your love and forgiveness. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for listening to our prayers. And now we shall pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
And so to our readings for this morning. The first of these comes from the Old Testament and is one of the prophecies looking towards the birth of Jesus. The second reading is about the announcement of the birth of Jesus that is, or the birth of Jesus foretold, where the angel Gabriel meets with Mary. And Elaine is going to read for us.
The first reading is taken from Isaiah chapter 9, reading from verse 2 and then verse 6 to 7. To us a child is born. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. And our second reading is taken from Luke chapter 2, reading from verse 26 to 38, the birth of Jesus foretold. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of a greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. Amen. And may God add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Hymn number 270. Put all your trust in God.
Thank you.
Last week, we were looking at the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth, the story that immediately precedes the passage that we've just read. And in fact, you would notice there is that connection in there that it says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, the angel Gabriel goes to Mary. If you read the beginning of Luke's Gospel, if you start right at the beginning, the very first bit, Luke explains what he's up to. And he says, he addresses an individual, Theophilus, and he says to that individual, I've looked at all the stories, I've examined them carefully, and it seemed right for me to put this down in order. And so he begins by very carefully writing the story of Jesus. And quite strangely, he begins not with Jesus, but with the parents of John the Baptist. And what he intends us to do is to compare and contrast two stories, because they are very alike, and yet they are very different. So if I briefly tell you the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth, because not everybody was in church here last week. Zechariah is part of the priestly family, that is those who belong to the correct tribe, had the right training, had everything in place. He was a priest in the temple in Jerusalem. For the Hebrew people, there is no other city like Jerusalem, and no holier place than the temple, and nothing holier than the altar in the temple where incense was burned and where offerings were given. Elizabeth has the same pedigree, but of course she can't be a priest. But that couple are of the political and religious elite of Israel. They are at the very center of the life of God's people. But they've got no children. And they're old. So, unusually, and possibly for the only time in his time as a priest, Zechariah is chosen by lot, and that means that was understood that this was God's choice, is chosen to burn incense to represent the prayers of all of God's people. And there he meets with Gabriel. And Gabriel says to this man of God, who had every qualification and would have been regarded at the very peak of society, and certainly to be a man of faith, he said, your prayers have been heard. Elizabeth is going to have a baby, and this baby is going to be called John, and he's going to go before God's Savior. He's going to prepare the way. The response of Zechariah is really a kind of eye right. It's too late. How on earth will that happen? And he's struck dumb. He's filled with doubt. Now, if you read if you read the beginning of Luke's Gospel and read it as though you've never heard the Christmas story before, it has an almost cinematic bit to it because it has these contrasts. So we cut from the very center of power to Nazareth in Galilee. Now, if you had been in Judea in those days, you would have known Galilee is a bit like nowhere. It was on the fringes. I suppose it's a bit like going from the borders into Edinburgh and trying to tell people what to do. And I can say that because I grew up in Gala, hence I can call myself a Galilean. Sorry. And if you wanted just a very ordinary place, Nazareth has nothing going for it. It is maybe a bit like Stow, Rosemary, dare I say. Well, Gala's quite an important place, you know. Sorry, if you don't understand the jokes, just ask me later. So here in the middle of nowhere is a young woman, and she would have been a young woman. The likelihood is that Mary was somewhere in her early teens. That would have been the norm in that society. She is pledged to be married, she's engaged, and that was a contract between two families. For Zechariah and Elizabeth, this should have been a great moment to be told there was going to be a baby. You'll notice, interestingly, this, we're all about babies being born. So that's fine, but you then jump to Gabriel talking to Mary, and for Mary, this is not good news. Imagine that young, very young woman meeting with an angel, a messenger of God. Angel means messenger. And told that she is greatly favored. Well, if an angel appeared to any one of us and said, "You are greatly favored," we might be a little bit concerned, because God's favor always comes with a lot around it, and a lot is expected. So here, Mary is quite shocked and wonders, what does this mean? And the angel goes on to say, good news, unmarried woman. You're about to have a baby in a society where that was not just deeply frowned upon, but in some places women were excluded from the community. In some places they were killed because they had broken the law. This is not what you would regard as good news. At first reading, it might seem that Mary and Zechariah, the two who have met with Gabriel, react in the same way. They both have a question. The difference here is that Zechariah asks a question by doubting the words he has heard, whereas Mary asks a question of, well, how is this going to happen? Where Zechariah had doubt, Mary lacks knowledge. Zechariah asks for proof, Mary asks for knowledge. Luke expects his readers to understand that Zechariah has every advantage that Mary lacks. It should have been the other way around. But it is the man of faith and status who doubts, and it is the young woman without any real right to have a faith like that, as far as most people are concerned, who has faith. This news is likely to destroy her plans for marriage and may even be a threat to her life. It is, at the very least, a source of shame for the family and disgrace within the community. Now, our society doesn't work like that, but that society did. Zechariah reveals his doubt and is struck dumb. He doesn't speak until the baby is in the temple to be blessed. Mary, on the other hand, reveals her faith in God and declares that she is the Lord's servant. Luke's clear intention in these two stories of miraculous births is to reveal that this is all of God. Neither the doubts of Zechariah nor the faith of Mary are key to or in control of the story. And yet, what we are presented with is the faith of a young woman who could lose everything, and the doubts of the man who should have believed that all things are possible with God. I suspect that most of us probably deep down sympathize with Zechariah. He is the rational man of faith. He is sensible and realistic in terms of a normal understanding of life. The surprise is Mary. And this is not the serene, mature figure dressed in blue in the nativity tableau. Rather, it is the young woman whose world has just been turned upside down by a message that no one is going to believe. If you can imagine what your family would say if you went and said, "Well, you see, this angel of the Lord spoke to me." Or if you heard someone else in the family say that, I doubt if we would go, "Oh yeah, well, we certainly believe all of that." This is not a naive young woman. She will have known of other young women who became pregnant prior to marriage. She is going to have some difficult times ahead. What will her family say? What will Joseph believe? What will the neighbors and the community do with her and to her? Mary responds to the answers given by Gabriel by declaring her faith in God rather than her fears for the future. The simple answer is that as God's servant, she puts her trust in God. And she will need that faith because life is not going to be easy. And I have to say that the church has not always been fair to Mary. Some theologies elevate Mary to a place where our humanity is lost. Some theologies go far too far the other way and see Mary as a mere human vessel for the birth of Jesus. Mary has a unique role in God's plan of salvation. She is chosen by God to be the mother who would nurture Jesus, not just through childhood, but be there through adulthood, would be there at the foot of the cross, and have to come to terms with the resurrection. The Gospels don't present Mary as some kind of superhuman. That would be to take away the wonder of her faith. Some Reformed theology and some denominations so emphasize Mary as an ordinary person that they forget that God chose her, gifted her and honored her. God gave her a place that no one else can occupy. And in this church, where we are Presbyterian, and hence our theology is Calvinist, it might be worth us saying that John Calvin, who is sometimes regarded as a bit kind of doer, said, "It cannot be denied that God conferred the highest honor on Mary by choosing and appointing her to be the mother of his son." There is a place for remembering that Mary is an ordinary young woman because that connects her to us. We share the same humanity, and therefore Mary stands as a challenge to us in our faith. What do we believe? Now, I know I am the Lord's servant. That's just part of my faith. But I sometimes fear I'm maybe more like Zechariah than I am like Mary. And I'm sure I'm not alone in this. Our calling is not to be resigned to our doubts, but to aim to be as faithful as Mary. God calls us just as much as he called Mary. He has a place for all of us. And today, where we've asked a blessing on a child, who knows what lies ahead in the Henry family? There are all sorts of things that you go through as parents. And if I can confess that I was a very silly young man when I had a first child in the family, because I said to a wise woman who just happened to be the minister's wife, and we were walking back from church just after Sarah was born, and I said in my innocence, well, I suppose that's 18 years of worry. And when she stopped laughing, she said, if you think it's only 18 years, you've got another thing coming. Once a parent, always a parent. No matter what, you worry about your children, you are there for your children, and it is a lifelong commitment. And that is the calling of God. The challenge for us in the story of Mary is to share Mary's humanity and to share Mary's obedience. And maybe the challenge is best illustrated in Mary's words, I am the Lord's servant, may your word to me be fulfilled. Amen. We're going to sing another Christmas carol at number 304, O Little Town of Bethlehem. George is now going to lead us in our prayers for other people.
Our prayers for other people. Ruth Harvey has written this prayer in sections. And what she's allowed us is a time of silence after each section, so we can bring our own personal thoughts to God about people or things or activities in that particular section. So I'd like you to join with me in prayer. Let us pray. Peace be within you, the psalmist says. And so we pray, loving God, for peace in our hearts. We name before you now prayer for ourselves and for individuals known to us who are anxious, ill, alone, afraid, or hurting. Peace be within you, the psalmist says. And so we pray, Prince of Peace, for peace in our communities. In the midst of political strife, social upheaval, economic stress, and neighbourhood arguments, we name before you now those known to us in our local communities who are hurting. Peace be within you, the psalmist says, and so we pray, Spirit of Love, for peace in our world. In the midst of war, angry words, broken homes, we pray for all who live in fear. We name before you now situations of war or aggression. We pray for peace within the governments and institutions of the world. May all decision makers know the art of compassionate conversation. We pray for calmness and wisdom in our world leaders. May they know the delight of diversity when opinions differ. We name before you now leaders and institutions in our world nurturing or needing peace. God of love, Prince of Peace, Holy Spirit, we ask all these prayers in your name and for the sake of our world, your creation. Amen.
As we come to the end of this service, we're going to sing Angels from the Realms of Glory, which, if you remember, the chorus is a real exercise for your voice. So I hope you're all in good voice and take a deep breath to sing to God's praise and glory in hymn 324, Angels from the Realms of Glory.
Thank you.
to worship, to care, and to serve. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always.